Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Welcome to the Healing Trauma Podcast, a compassionate guide for those seeking to heal and thrive. Introducing your host, Monique Coven, a certified trauma recovery coach and fellow traveler on the path to healing. In this podcast, we will engage in heartfelt conversation with experts in the field of trauma healing. We'll explore ways to cultivate feeling safe in our bodies and in connection to others, so that we can be present to live the life we've been given more fully and with more joy. Join us as we navigate the way towards a life restored. Introducing your host, Monique Coven.
Hi, Sidhu. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Monique.
I'm really happy to have you here. And this topic that we're going to talk about is so important. Emotional regulation, parenting, emotions. And this is something that it's so challenging for parents in general. And then add parents who have a trauma history. Mm-hmm. It's even more so.
Yeah. I think this is such a great place to start, Monique, because for many of us, especially those of us who may have some trauma in our backgrounds or with our history, emotions is one of those things that we learned as a black and white topic, as something that some emotions are good and acceptable, and some of those good and acceptable ones bring us attention, love, affection, right? So if we're happy and joyful, then we get that attention, then we get that love, then we get that nurturing. But other emotions we've learned are not acceptable. They're the emotions that keep people away from us, that keep love, attention, affection away from us. And we are supposed to, this is what we're learning, we're supposed to keep those emotions always at bay. We're never supposed to experience these emotions. And often these emotions that I'm talking about, particularly anger is one of the emotions that we've learned is not acceptable. We're not supposed to get angry at our children. Like, we're not supposed to experience anger with our children. We're not supposed to experience anger perhaps even with others, but anger towards ourselves usually is what we end up experiencing. So I wanted with this, I think it's part of this work of, you know, healing or coming back to ourselves comes with relearning our relationship with emotion and relearning that emotions are neither good or bad. Any emotion is neither good or bad. It's okay if we're angry. It's okay if we're sad. It's okay if we're afraid of a certain situation. When we experience those emotions, which are actually often at the unconscious level. So we experience our emotions and they're often like at an unconscious level, but then we feel the anger that comes. So if we're triggered, let's say by our child who's having a tantrum, or maybe an emotion that we're experiencing is a fear of us not being able to be the parent that we tell ourselves we're supposed to be, the parent who prevents the tantrums, the parent who knows what to do in those situations when our child is having a tantrum, right? So that could be, let's say, an emotion that they experience. But the feeling then kind of comes out through anger. And we get angry at our child for throwing a tantrum. We get angry at ourselves for not knowing what to do. And so part of this sort of understanding emotions, understanding feelings, is that neither one of them are good or bad. They're what we experience. And those experiences for us at that conscious level come through our body. And so when we recognize what we're feeling, those emotions, we can address them. And then we have the choice to respond in a different way. So the anger that's present is neither good or bad, but we get the choice of responding in perhaps a more appropriate way than yelling at our child, right? We can respond by lots of different things, which I'm sure we'll talk about.
I'm listening, and I think that is really going to be like a new learning. That emotions are neither good or bad, because we learned, trauma survivors learned very early, that emotions are not allowed or not acceptable, are good or are bad, and we've disconnected from them, like from a visceral. So I think that that's why that reaction can come on so strong within us.
And, you know, oftentimes when we talk about these emotions or feelings that we have, we're always talking about them here in these big moments, right? In these big situations, when our child is in a tantrum, maybe when we feel invalidated by a partner or by a friend or a family member. And we can also, while those are very important moments to talk about, a lot of getting to know and what will give us that choice is acknowledging those emotions and feelings that we have through everyday life, because these are things that are coming up for us all the time. You know, small little moments throughout our day when something maybe didn't go our way. Maybe we asked our child to, I don't know, put on their shoe and they respond back with some back talk or something like that. And maybe we don't lash out like we would during a tantrum, let's say, but those feelings are still there. And so as we get to know those, instead of like pushing them away, as many of us have learned, right? Like get rid of those. These aren't that we give it a small little space to say, oh, this is what I'm experiencing right now. Like, this didn't feel good right now. What could that be about? And we may not have, 10 minutes, 20 minutes to go into self-exploration at that time, but we're acknowledging it. Something came up for me right now. I wonder what that's about. And then maybe later when we have time, coming back and trying to just, you know, create like self-awareness, trying to explore that a little bit more, or talking to somebody about it, a spouse, a therapist, or something. You know, earlier on when this situation happened with my child, like there was something happening there, and beginning to explore and figure out what those things are rather than pushing them away.
Yeah, that's good. So it's really a beginning and an awareness that, oh, I'm feeling something. So how do we then start to develop self-regulation or to self-regulate?
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about that, of self-regulation, because now there's so much, I think, out there about, you know, we need to self-regulate, or even with children, like we need to teach children how to self-regulate. We have to. And it is so important that we work on these skills with our children and with ourselves. And so I'm going to back up a little bit and kind of talk about maybe what we experienced, right, as adults now, back perhaps in our own childhood. And I'm going to try to see if I can walk us through what it would look like, or what it could have looked like, and then now why we as adults may struggle so much to self-regulate. And so self-regulation is kind of like that ability to be able to manage emotions, to be able to have that sense of self-awareness of what we're experiencing. And with that self-awareness and management, you know, we choose different alternatives. We can choose to respond in a different way. We choose to sometimes compartmentalize and maybe not address it right at that moment because we're in a crisis situation. Our child's running down the street and we don't have time to address any type of emotions because we have to act. So in order for that self-regulation to develop, we have to first have someone else who regulates with us. And that's what the relationship for self-regulation to be able to take place. We need to co-regulate. It needs to be addressed through another person. Now, if for many people who may have trauma in their background, that may have not happened. And so I'm going to walk us through this, what co-regulation would look like for us, because these are things that maybe we didn't learn, but we certainly can start learning them now as adults. And we can start doing these things also with our children to be able to give them the necessary tools to be able to self-regulate. So in infancy, children are, or infants are, largely incapable of regulating themselves. And we know this because, one, they can't communicate. So we need to be very responsive to them. And usually what I like to think about in this relationship is like a 95% to 5% relationship, where infants need like 95% support in regulating. Maybe 5% they're capable of taking care of their own needs. And how do we do this? By responding, right? By being responsive, not in a perfect way, that's unrealistic, but responding consistently enough. And I love always using that word enough, because the call to perfection is so great and it's impossible for all of us. So enough of the times to where we're responding. When they're hungry, right, we feed them. When they're crying, we respond. And we at least try to figure out what they need, or we try to provide some comfort or something of that sort. As our children then start getting older, getting into the toddler years, now they're able to perhaps communicate a little bit more, or they're at least starting to. But toddlers still need so much co-regulation. They need still that warm, responsive relationship from someone else. They need structure and safety through both their physical needs. And what I like to talk about is like routines. Children love or thrive on predictable routines. And that's not to say every single day is going to look exactly the same, but they sort of know, right, their day is going to look like, or who's going to be in their lives consistently. And so we give this to them, routine, safety. But still, they're strong, even though they have so much. They're starting to get mobile and they're starting to move and they're starting to talk. Their strong emotions still far outweigh anything that is visible to us. And so they still need so much support in regulating their emotions. So we're there. We're helping them notice what's in their body. We're labeling emotions. Oh, you're feeling, if they're crying over not being able to get a toy at the store, we're acknowledging that, oh gosh, this, like, I get it. Like this, you really wanted that toy. This is so hard for you. I completely get that. While still remaining true to that limit, but we can't get this toy right now. And then we try to redirect them towards something else. But that's still, they still need so much support from us. Then children start getting a little bit older. We go into the preschool age. And here, this is like one of those fundamental stages of development where we can really start teaching them so many more self-regulation skills. We're still labeling their emotions, but we're also teaching them now coping strategies. We're teaching them what to do with that anger. You're so angry right now because mommy doesn't have time to play, because I have to do other things, or, you know, I have to make dinner, for example. And we're teaching them to do other things, to be able to manage their emotions, to take a deep breath, to go outside, to blow out their anger, to go play with sand or Play-Doh, or there's so many other different skills, breathing techniques. And we're slowly starting to implement these. And that one, we'll say, like, children are able in the preschool age to maybe regulate about 30% of the time, but still 70% of the time, we're still showing up for them in these like warm relationships, in a safe space for them to be able to release their emotions. And as children then start going older, the percentages, if you will, start to increase for them. If we're still giving them that warm relationship, that consistency, while teaching them self-regulation skills. Now, if we didn't get a chance, let's say if, you know, in our childhood, if our caregivers didn't support us in this way, didn't provide the safety that we needed, if our emotions were shut down, right? If we didn't have a warm, responsive relationship with them, then self-regulation now as an adult is so hard. It's unrealistic for us to imagine that just because we're now in adult bodies, that we've magically developed this skill, because it is a skill. It's something that we need to learn. And so this takes practice. This takes practice and practice and showing up now for ourselves in the same way that someone else, you know, our caregivers before, would have shown up for us. And so we are now providing that sense of like warm, responsive relationship with ourselves. When we're angry, when we're sad, we're kind of acknowledging, we're labeling our own emotions, we're acknowledging what's happening inside of ourselves, and we're inviting ourselves to respond with a coping strategy with our anger or with whatever emotion. But I often talk about anger because this is anger seems to be the taboo emotion that we're not ever supposed to feel.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Then, as adults, have to kind of be that self co-regulator to ourself or our younger parts. But how would you say that we could, as adults, learn to self-regulate?
Yeah. Safety is the first thing that comes to mind. We both need to physically feel safe. That means in the context of like, do we have access to the basic needs? Do we have access to shelter, to food, to water, to these supportive relationships as well? And so safety is the first part, because without that sense of safety, then it's so difficult to be able to even approach a sense of self-regulation. Our nervous system is on a constant fight, flight, freeze, you know, fawn mode, and we're just reactive, reactive, reactive. So safety has to be the first part. With safety, then now we can begin to do some of those things that maybe we didn't have by like starting off in like labeling what's happening to us, labeling that right now I'm feeling this, whatever it is that we're feeling. Okay. Just labeling and not attaching anything else to it, right? So we're not adding these stories of like, I'm feeling angry and goodness, like there's something wrong with me. And we'll talk probably a little bit more about shame. Many of us experience so much shame with our emotions or when we're dysregulated. So we're labeling, we're greeting ourselves with compassion when we're experiencing those emotions, both compassion and sense like, I see you, I understand what you're experiencing. Okay, let's figure this out now. What can we do to be able to help ourselves right now in this moment? Is it safe for me maybe to walk away for a second, you know, during my child's tantrum? If they're in a safe place and maybe we do need to walk away, maybe we need to walk away and splash cold water on our face, get a drink of water, take a few deep breaths, do some grounding techniques. There's so many different things. And with self-regulation, we kind of tailor it to our own, what works for us. Taking deep breaths doesn't always work for people, especially with individuals who have a lot of trauma in their background. Taking deep breaths can send us into fight, flight, freeze mode. So maybe that isn't what you do. Maybe closing your eyes feels very frightening and scary. So we don't close our eyes. We keep our eyes open and we notice maybe the environment around us. I see this over here. I see this. I see, you know, my cat walking by or whatever it may be. And we're bringing ourselves to the present moment, to be able to acknowledge what's happening and trying to regulate as best as we can. Again, it's never going to be perfect, but the more consistency that we're able to address our need in time, we slowly start to see some of these skills develop. And when our child is in a tantrum or something like that, we can start to see, oh, this time I was able to stop for a moment, take a deep breath, or not take a, you know, ground myself before responding to my child.
I love that. I really do. And I agree that the beginning really is the awareness and the naming, because so often it's so automatic that we're just bypassing, we're just in it. We have no idea, we're just reacting. And so I love that. We have to really begin to be aware of what's happening. Mm-hmm. So that's great. So how do we deal with the guilt and the shame that comes from when we do lose it with our children?
Yeah. Kind of to go back then a little bit of what we've already talked about, when the first part in any of these, like if any moment that we lose it, is to regulate our body first. That's, we want to bring ourselves back to a state of calm. And when, after we do this, then whether it's there at that time, later in a moments of reflection that we're having, we want to start exploring what the shame is about. What is this guilt kind of about? And I want to, you know, be cautious here, because what I'm not saying is that we're going back and sort of reliving past traumas, past experiences that we had. But we're trying to explore, what is this sense, let's say, of fear that has manifested through shame? What is it trying to communicate? What is it that it's needing, in a sense? And so when we're, this kind of comes to acknowledging those parts of us, right? Getting to know these parts of us that are showing up in different situations. And so let me kind of give an example. If, let's say, you know, your child is wanting you to play with them, and goodness, they've been wanting you to play with them all day. Mom can play with me, or dad can play with me. And you've played with them, and now you have other things that you need to do, but they're still continuing. And now they start engaging in, you know, these more challenging behaviors, the whining, the sort of like pulling, dragging at you. And then you end up losing it through that time. And while you lose it, and then your child, because they're probably dysregulated, both of you are dysregulated at that time, they may say something really unkind. Oftentimes, the children may at that time say, like, you're just the worst mom, or you're a terrible mom, you're a terrible dad, I don't even love you, or things like this. And what may come is that sense of shame through that. Like, I'm a terrible parent. I could have done this differently. It's me. There's something wrong with me. And when those parts then are showing up, we're both, sometimes we can read it with compassion. I see that this part of me right now is very afraid. This part of me is afraid of not being enough for my child, and reminding ourselves, greeting to that part of ourselves, like, this, my child is dysregulated right now. Their words are not a reflection of my worth. They're not a reflection of my worth. I'm a good enough parent, just as I am. Their emotions belong to them. My emotions belong to me. I can regulate. I can take control of what I'm feeling right now, and then I can support my child. So that's kind of like one way, right? We're greeting ourselves with compassion. Sometimes we can talk about greeting ourselves with like playfulness when that shame is showing up in ways, maybe not during those situations, but in other times when shame may just be showing up and telling us that we're doing something wrong, right? That we need to do more, And so we're acknowledging still that part, but kind of like, oh, there you are again. There you are again telling me that I'm not doing enough. I see you. I see that you're here. You know what? Like, you've been loud enough for right now. I need you to step to the side, because there's other parts of me here that are here to show up. And so we're getting to know and sort of reframing this sense, this talk that we have, this negative, if you will, right? Talk that we have inside of ourselves. And once again, this still takes a lot of time and a lot of processing and a lot of safety, sense of safety to be able to work through this, through our shame and guilt. And It comes also through safety in a relationship. Who is it that we can talk to these things about, both ourselves, someone else, a safe relationship, where we can kind of start to give less power to shame when we're telling ourselves that we're not a good enough parent because we lost it? Who is it that we can talk to about those moments, right? Where we're not just keeping it to ourselves, because shame loves to like be very quiet, but still it's still so loud internally, but it tells us like that we're the only one that's broken, that's wrong, that needs to be fixed. And so part of it is also in talking to others and being able to share that experience of that we did, let's say, lose it with our child today. Because in the context of relationship is, you know, like we all lose it at times. Every single one of us, regardless of who you are, we've all lost it in some degree with our children, with a partner, with family, friends. And as we get to know each other's stories, we can see that this is both a very human experience, and it's okay to be human.
There was never any repair. There was never any talk about it.
Yeah, that's such a great question. When we do lose it, it's more important for us to work on that repair than focusing so much on never losing. Of course, we always want to work on, you know, like not yelling, not hurting, not scaring our child. But like I said, sometimes there's moments when we might raise our voice to some degree. And that's a human experience. And so then our focus is less on like, I shouldn't have done this, to how do I repair the relationship now? And so practically speaking, when you're regulated, your child is regulated, then we go to them and we acknowledge what it is that we've done. And we approach it with no guilt, no shame towards our child, even if they said these hurtful words to us. Let's say they said, "You're a terrible mom," while they were dysregulated. Right now, it's about how do we repair? And so we go, it might sound something like, you know, earlier on when we were in the kitchen, I raised my voice in a way that probably didn't feel very good for you. And I'm so sorry about that. It wasn't okay for me to raise my voice. I will work on trying to calm my body down first before addressing these situations. We apologize for it. And then if it's possible, then we can talk about maybe what it could look like before, you know, or problem solve together. You know, if our child is whining, and maybe because whining is also one of those things that's very triggering for parents, and we can problem solve together at that moment, but we're not shaming them or guilting them for whining, you know, so we're avoiding those things of like, well, if you wouldn't have done this, then I wouldn't have yelled, right? No. We want to avoid those situations because we don't want to create guilt or shame for our children, much like it didn't feel good for us to be shamed and guilted in our own childhood, which many of us probably did experience. You know, I noticed that you were wanting something and you were communicating it through a whining voice. Let's talk about how we can both work together to communicate what we need in a way that works for both of us, relationship. And that's going to look different for every single family.
I've learned that it's going to be okay after. So, yeah. So this was really, really a great conversation. It was so helpful. Is there anything that you'd like to add before we close?
You know, with this, I think I've said so many different times through here, this is a process. This isn't, and it's not something learning to self-regulate, learning to co-regulate with our children. If we didn't learn this in our own childhood, in our own past, is a process, and it's not a linear process. So we'll have times when we don't respond in that ideal way and when we don't regulate ourselves. And all of those moments we can both kind of address with that compassion towards ourselves, towards our child, and then we move forward.
That's great.
But the primary place probably that most people find me is on Instagram.
you.